All right, on my best behavior.
Will, anything you want to start with?
No, we're just a little update. You know, we're starting to put the folders together, and I've actually took, you know, the templates for client information. Actually, I'm going to, I don't know if most people handwrite the data, but I'm going to type it in there, and I just think I'm a neat freak, so that'll be neat and available. That way it'll be kept, so if I want to update something, it'll be easy to just type new data in there. But I had a client yesterday. I introduced this one of my best clients, so I introduced this to her, and she I didn't go through the whole script, full disclosure, but to her, she's super low key, and I think anyway, I fully expect a talking to because I didn't go through the whole thing. But I did say we're going to do, you know, this every month, and we're going to do four quarterlies, and we're going to do, in her case, I'd get together with her probably every time, but just because it's good to get together with her. So I'll probably get a talk or two and deserve one for not going through the whole thing about that. I didn't say anything about the minimum, but
okay.
It's good. Yeah. I can answer my own question and tell myself why that's a bad idea not to go through the whole thing.
Well, here's the main reason is this is different, Will. This is not there are a few people doing it in Raleigh because I've coached some people in Raleigh, but there are not very many people who are offering this level of service. And I don't want to beat you up. You don't deserve to be beaten up. No, I don't operate that way. I mean, I can.
I'll beat myself up so you don't need to.
So here would be my question. You know, the question my dad always would ask me when I was growing up when I did something I shouldn't have done. He'd say, "Why'd you do that? Why?" I hated that question. Why?
It's a good one.
It is a good one. I still remember. Why didn't you not roll out your minimum with this lady?
Okay, I'll just tell Audrey why before we called you, and the why is. And I could probably overcome it. It doesn't sound like me,
Wait. Let's just hang out here for a second. You spent money. You and Audrey are investing time to get share with you what has worked over and over and over again. And this is a matter of trusting the system. I don't know if you've ever done one of those where you just fall backwards and somebody, you know, you're relying on somebody in your team to catch you, things like that. You got to have some trust here. It separates you. You're doing something different. So it might not sound like you, but that's okay. I want you to put these things in your words, Will.
No, I hear you, and I actually believe you and do trust you. A weird thing about me is I'm sorry for that. I don't know what it is, but I'm not answering it. I usually do things wrong and find out why the right way is the right way, because I do it the wrong way and, quote, enjoy the consequences of it. And then I learn, okay, this is why you do it the right way. So now I sort of halfway know why you do it the right way.
Well, I'm not going to get this old saying exactly right. A smart man learns from his mistakes.
I'm smart.
A wise man learns from other people's mistakes.
I'm smart, not wise.
Okay. Well, let's get outside your comfort zone. What happens when you work outside your comfort zone, Will, is your comfort zone expands. You are comfortable doing things that you would not have been comfortable doing 10 years ago. So telling people, what are you saying to people when you tell them that you have a minimum of $500,000 for a new business? What is it you're saying? What's the subliminal message there?
I'm successful and I'm in demand and I know what I'm doing and I can turn business away if it's not the right business.
Yeah, you're not the power company. You don't have to run wire to everybody. You get to choose your clients. So when there's no downside to saying that you have a minimum for new business. This is really big. And if they say, well, why are you doing that? You know the answer to that. Well, I'm glad you asked, Ms. Jones. The reason I've established a minimum is I can never let the growth of my practice compromise the service I give to existing clients. I just won't do that. The other reason I have established a minimum for new business is that I always want to have room in my practice for clients like you. So those are great conversations to have. And I could tell you, I'm not going to do it in the interest of time. We've got a lot to cover here today. But on numerous occasions, FAs have been surprised with new money, new referrals, just by talking about their minimum. So I would ask you to step outside your comfort zone and just tell them what you're doing. Go ahead. I interrupted you.
No, that's a great point. And so what I'm going to do, I've written it down already, is I'm going to, as part of my homework this week, I am going to do the script right with one person at least, and I'm going to see how that works. But I'm going to commit to doing it right. And
well,
see how
here's how you get it right, Will. It's just having the conversation. As you look back on your conversation with this lady, you mentioned the client. There are probably things you would have done differently. After you do this, and I said these almost exact words to you, I know that because I say them to everybody. After you have three of the conversations, you don't need your script anymore. You've learned under fire. So you're giving people a present here. You're giving them a level of service that's not readily available in your market. I would want them to, when you talk about a minimum, I would want them to ask why, because that's a good conversation to have. So how many of those client conversations have you had?
I think I've only done it with two.
All right. What was the other person's reaction?
Well, I told you about the other one where the lady said that's too much. You know, we went through that, what to say in response to that, and I get that. But what she eventually came down, or we seemingly agreed to, was we're going to try this we're going to try it. So I told them there was stuff to talk about. And I think it was just her. The husband was more open to it, and she'll go along with it, but she's kind of a control kind of person. So.
Yeah, well, you're not taking control. You're actually giving her more control because you're going to have more communication. Communication is the lubrication of any relationship, Will, not just business relationships, marital relationships, friendships. Communication is the lubrication of all relationships, and you're offering more communication. Now, I'm going to run through that progression really quickly just so you know it exactly. Will, that sounds like too much contact. I really don't need monthly contact. Well, thank you for telling me. I think it's really important that we have that type of contact. Could you try it for 3 months, and if it still feels like too much, I'll dial it back. They either say okay or no. They say no, I just don't want to have monthly scheduled contact with them. Your response is, I hear you. I didn't get to this point in my career by not listening to my clients. Could we go ahead and schedule the quarterly reviews? Got it?
Yep.
All right.
I literally have that written down.
Okay. But this is an exercise that you just get better at it. When you're prospecting, when you're meeting a new client, whatever, that's the way you separate yourself from the competition is through your service model. You're not the world's greatest stock picker. You never will be. If you're the world's greatest stock picker this year, one thing I know for sure is you won't be next year. And that applies to mutual fund managers. So what your differential is your service model. Now, here's something else that you said that I think is the wrong way to approach this. What I asked you to do last week is to put together one folder. Make sure that's what you want, and then start to put together more folders. Do you remember that conversation?
Yeah.
Okay. And I want Audrey to do it. I don't want you to do it. I heard what you said.
Audrey does.
Okay. But what I want Audrey to bring, come to you with questions, but I want you. I want her doing the work. Audrey, you are the practice manager. This is part of what you do is put the folders together. Once you got one and you know you like it, then you move on and you start adding to it. And I'll talk to you about how to do that. So, Will, I don't want you doing that kind of work. I want that to be Audrey's job because you've got more than enough to do with everything else that's going to be going on. All right?
Okay.
All right. Let's go over. Here's what I want you to do. I want Audrey. You have a Thursday call scheduled with Cindy.
I do.
Okay. I thought I saw that in the traffic. Are you comfortable with an Excel spreadsheet?
Yes.
Okay. Terrific. And Will, what I would suggest is if you're available when Cindy and Audrey meet, that you listen in. But again, the scheduling is going to be Audrey's job. That's an all or none thing. It's Audrey's job, period. She's your practice manager. If you have to change a dental appointment, you don't call and ask for the dentist, right?
Right.
He'd be quite upset with you. You call and ask for whoever in that practice does the rescheduling, it's going to be the same. It's going to simplify your life, and it's really going to simplify Audrey's life. So here's what you all got each of you get a piece of a blank piece of paper in front of you. Tell me when you got it.
Okay.
Okay. I want you to write this series of numbers vertically. 9-10.
Okay.
Under that, write 10-11. And under that, 11-12.
Okay.
Now, these are time periods. And I'm just using – I want you to have the overview of what the scheduling is going to look like. Those are – you're going to have different types of calls. You're going to have in-person calls. You're going to have non-review month calls. Your in-person are going to take about an hour. What you're going to find is the more prepared you are for that call, the more effective you are and the quicker they go. Not that you're trying to rush these people, but it's just when you've got an agenda, the client might have an agenda. That's a pretty good formula for it being done quickly. So you've got for every client contact, you've got to reserve an hour. So if Ms. Jones says, I want the second Tuesday of every month from 9 to 10, that's her time. You've got to leave a whole hour for her because some of your calls might take an hour. Some of them, the non-review month calls, are going to take 5-10 minutes. If they take longer than that, that's usually a good thing. So
you're saying the reviews take an hour?
I'm saying you've got to, yes.
Reserve an hour.
No, I'm saying you've got to, every Ms. Jones's time, she's got an hour of your time. You've got an hour set aside for Mrs. Jones every month. You've got to set a whole hour aside because some of your in-persons are probably going to go an hour. Some are going to go 5 minutes, but you got to leave a whole hour because you don't know how long the call is going to be. It's a max of an hour. You with me?
Yeah.
If when Audrey calls Ms. Jones and says, what looks best for you, and she says, well, I want the first Tuesday of every month at 9 o'clock, that's her time. You understand?
Yeah.
Now, we don't schedule by days of the week, by day of month. You can't say Ms. Jones' time is the first, is the second of every month, because sometimes the second is going to be a holiday, a weekend. So we schedule by the first Monday, the third Tuesday, whatever. Are you, Audrey, you with me on this?
Yes.
You sure?
Yes, I understand. We need to block out an hour, regardless if it's a meeting or if it's a call. He needs a max hour for the client.
Yep. Yeah, exactly right. Now, let's look at this. You got 12 calls a year, a minimum. What some clients are going to hear, Will, is, does that mean I can't call you? No, that doesn't mean that at all. What this means is this is a minimum service expectation, a contact expectation for me. You're always free to call me. Now, the fact that they know they're talking to you on a scheduled basis, Will, it's going to cut down the incoming significantly because they know they're going to be talking with you. If somebody hadn't talked to a client for 6 months and they call, there's probably a lot, they're going to want to talk about a lot of things. You're talking to people on a monthly basis. So think of this. You got 12 contacts. 8 of them are non-review months. They're going to take 10 minutes. So let's look at this, those three numbers that you, those 9 to 10, 10 to 11, 11 to 12, and let's pretend that's your day-to-day. And let's say the 9 to 10 is a in-person, and let's say that the next two are non-review months. Okay? So that's a three-hour block of time. You got it?
Yep.
Okay. Let's say the first one takes the whole hour, but let's say the next two take 10 minutes. So while it looks like you're scheduled for 3 hours, you're in reality scheduled for an hour and 20 minutes. You got it?
Yep.
So less than while it looks like you're fully scheduled, you've still got more than half of your time free. Some people say, well, there's no time in my day to do this or that. There's lots of time in your day because two-thirds of your calls, 8 over 12, two-thirds of your calls are going to be 10-minute calls. You with me?
Yep.
All right. Very, very important. Now, I want to go through the scheduling. Remember, two-thirds of your calls are non-review calls. So you've got a call with Ms. Smith. It's a non-review call. And Ms. Smith the best practice is Audrey, via email or whatever is most efficient, lets the client know a week ahead to remind them of the call. Ms. Jones, just a reminder that you've got your monthly meeting with Will next Tuesday at 10 o'clock. You do that a week before. Ms. Smith responds, gosh, I can't keep that contact. I can't keep that meeting. I'm going out to visit my grandkids in California. Here's Audrey's response. Thanks for letting me know. Is there anything that I can pass on to Will or anything I can do for you? Ms. Smith's response, 99% of the time, is going to be, nope, everything's okay. And Audrey's final thing is, terrific, we'll talk to you next month. You do not reschedule non-review months. Did you hear me, Audrey?
Heard.
I want you to say it out loud. We do not reschedule non-review months.
We do not reschedule non-review months.
Okay. Now, that's between the three of us. You never say that to a client. But you don't want – if you offer – well, we – it's going to clog up your schedule. So, again, I'll go through it. Audrey, you send out an email a week ahead of time. Ms. Smith, just a reminder that you've got your monthly meeting with Will next Tuesday. Mm-hmm. Her response, gosh, I can't keep that. I'm out of town. Thanks for telling me. Is there anything that I can do for you or anything you want me to pass on to Will? Nope, everything's okay. Terrific. We'll talk to you next month.
Okay.
Got it?
Yeah.
All right. Now, if this is a review month, if this is a quarterly review, it's going to sound very similar.
Okay, you're saying if it's a quarterly review and they can't do it?
Do you reschedule those? You got to reschedule your quarterly reviews. And it's going to go like this. It's going to sound very, very familiar. Audrey sends out the email. Excuse me. Ms. Smith, you've got your quarterly review with Will next Tuesday at 10. She says, I can't do it for whatever reason. Audrey says, well, thanks for letting me know. Will has time here, here, and here. Which of those work best for you? Make sense?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, one other thing, Will, and you, when you're talking to your clients about your new service model and you're talking about two in-person reviews, if you've got somebody in Spokane, Washington, I'm just making it up, you're not going to see that person twice a year. So for that person, it's a monthly contact with four quarterly reviews. You don't promise something you can't deliver. You with me?
Yes.
Also, if you've got someone, let's say Ms. Smith here says, gosh, I have time to do my, let's say she's scheduled for an in-person, and if she says, well, could we do this one on the phone? The answer is yes. You're not going to say, nope, you got to get in your car and drive wherever. So you want to use common sense is always your friend here. So if somebody does, if you're not going to promise face to face, if the client isn't, if you can't deliver that, and if a client ever says, well, could we do our quarterly review or in face? Could we do that over the phone on a one off basis? That's fine. You just got to be smart about it. I mean, for you, if you could do all of them over the phone, it'd probably be more efficient. But it's so much more powerful when you're talking to your client face-to-face in twice a year. Got it?
Yeah, I totally believe in that. I'm going to be a face-to-face kind of guy.
Yeah, you told me that last week you're going to Asheville a lot. You might be going too much.
I'm about to conclude that and trying to dial that back because it's incredibly time-consuming, disruptive, and expensive.
And Will, here's how you do it. You do it when you roll out your service model to these people in Asheville. Now you're going to talk to them on a you're going to see them twice a year. if that's what you want to do. You're not, and at least maybe when you go to Asheville, you know, you'll be able to talk to a lot of people in one trip instead of the back and forth. But let me now here's how you're going to know, Audrey and Will, how your organization is getting tight. Will walks in and says, I'm going to take the week of October 15th off. I'm going to take some time. I'm going to take a week off. And that's the last time you ever have to have a conversation about it. You don't have to follow up. Audrey knows what to do. And let's say right now you have about 50, let's say you have 60 clients. I'm just making that up. That's 15 contacts a week. That's three a day. Five times three is 15. Of those 15, how many are going to be non-review months? 10. That's two-thirds. So Audrey, when she knows you're going to be out, she calls those or emails those 10 people and says, Will's going to be out the week of October the 15th. He's not going to be able to have his monthly call. Is there anything I can do for you, or is there anything I can pass on to Will? Sounds familiar, doesn't it, Audrey?
Yeah.
And the other ones, the quarterly reviews, you're going to say, Will's out the week of October the 15th. You're scheduled for a quarterly review then. He's got time here, here, and here. Which of those work best for you? Will, can you feel how you're getting control of your practice?
Yeah, that would be very nice and unusual, strange, but it'd be nice.
It'll be eerily strange because it'll be so simple. You've got doctors get to set their schedule, attorneys set their schedule, dentists set their schedule, and we don't. That doesn't make any sense. So we'll go back over this, but Audrey, I hope you see how this is all fitting together. Will has the calls, tells the client about the refinements to his practice. He ends that by saying, "You're going to call. You're going to kick this practice off after Labor Day. You call the client and say, I'm doing Will's scheduling." What works best for you?
Mm-hmm.
And then every day when Will comes in, he knows what his schedule looks like. Now think about this, Will. You've got, again, 60 clients is three calls a day. That's 15 a week. Now think of the flexibility you have in your schedule here, Will. Let's say instead of having three calls 5 days a week, you say, what I'd really like to do is I would like to have no calls on Monday and Friday, and I would like to have five calls on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. Or I want to have two calls on Monday. I want to have no calls on Friday. I don't want to schedule on Tuesday afternoons, whatever. So this, do you see the flexibility you have, Will?
Yes.
Okay, now let's think about this ideal day. So, and you don't have to make a decision now. I'm gone over a little bit. You got a little more time?
Absolutely.
Okay. As you're thinking about your ideal week, and on one hand you could have five calls 3 days a week, or you could have three calls 5 days a week, or however you want it to set up. What sounds good to you? I mean, would you want to have three a day? You want to give yourself a day? You know, if you've got a day that you never schedule, you're hardly ever scheduled on Tuesdays. If you're with a prospect or with a client, you know you've got some flexibility in your schedule on Tuesdays. Or you can save that time, the Tuesdays, for when people have to reschedule. you've always got room in your calendar fairly quickly. So I want you to think about what an ideal day would look like. I would rather have 3 days of five than 5 days of three. But five, if you have more than five calls, that's a pretty busy day. You can have more, but the experience your first client would get would probably be better than the experience your sixth client would get. So
yeah, well, one thing I think about what you're saying is it ain't just the time you're with the client. There's preparation and like that.
Okay, so here's homework should be really simple here, folks. I like simple. I used to spend a lot of time making my life harder than it had to be, not intentionally. So call your clients, Will. These are great conversations. If they want to talk about your minimum, again, make sure you've got some sub-$500,000 relationships in your practice, correct? You don't want them to. You don't want them to hear they're getting fired. I've established a $500,000 minimum for new business, and clients might say, what about me? Oh, your grandfather. This is for new business. I have to control what comes into my practice. I can't let the growth of my practice compromise the service I give to my clients. You see how this fits together, Will?
Yeah, except for if I tell somebody who's $250,000 that I adore and I'm not going to fire, that my minimum is now $500, is that not going to make them feel like I don't care about them anymore?
No, not if you explain it. You're doing it because you've got to control the number of people coming into your practice. Well,
if you tell me I'm $200,000, you love me so.
I think clients make up a lot of things, Will. That's why I'm telling you, you've got to make sure they understand it's for new business. Well, does that apply to me? Oh, Ms. Jones, no, that doesn't apply to you. I just don't want my practice to get out of control. The way that I can offer you this upgraded level of service or refined level of service is that I keep control of my practice. I couldn't offer monthly scheduled contact if I had 150 relationships. So, you confirmed that you heard her. I thank you for asking me the question, but no, this is for new business.
Are you telling butlers?
We're not having butler conversations right now. We're not having butler conversations until you talk to all your clients.
But to answer
your question, in the videos, Rob Knapp talks about doing 4-1 with clients.
You believe in 2-1.
2-1, and if you've got somebody that you're a $30,000 relationship that you're keeping because you have to, if you talk to them once a month, it's going to wear you out and going to wear them out. All right? So the homework, quite simple. Very important, but very simple. Have more conversations, Will. Just when you and I talk this over, I can hear you're getting more fluent in the conversation. Don't be afraid that you're going to put people off. You're offering them something special. That's part of the homework. The next part of the homework is to put together one folder. Have you done that yet?
Not completely, but I've put together part of one.
Okay, I want one complete folder done for a client. Because then, Will, I want you to sit down with Audrey at that point and look and see if there's anything you want to refine in that folder. Now, I will tell you, I've had FAs get hung up on making the folders perfect. That's why I give you templates. If you've got something that works better than what I've suggested, then use it. If you don't have anything that's better, go with what I gave you and refine it over time. Your folders in 18 months are probably, well, not probably, parts of it are going to look different from what they look like today. It's just as you get deeper into this and your practice starts to grow and you see what works, you're going to make some refinements to your folders. But you got to get that first one put together. All right?
Yep.
Anything else?
No, I don't think
okay.
so.
Okay, I'm going to talk on that thing that I sent you, the Supernova folder information. There's a red client folder. This is the folder you give to your clients. I'm going to start with that next week because I don't want to dilute what I've asked you to get done for next week. All right?
Okay.
Okay, if you don't have anything else, I'm done.
Thank you, sir.
All right, I enjoy it. Keep doing what you're doing well. Get outside your comfort zone. Clients love hearing what you're telling them.
All right, I trust you.
Thank you. See you, Audrey.
Bye.
Hey, Audrey.